This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai anō, welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau, Oti Porti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa Show. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager at Citizens Advice Bureau here in Dunedin. Our core service here is to help you know, understand, and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, how to resolve your issues, and give you advice and information about anything. And our help and advice is free. Tonight we are going to give you some information about dogs, cats, a little word about chickens and bees, and really the responsibilities of owning these animals and what to do if you're having problems with someone else's animals. So firstly, there is legislation that applies to all dog owners across Aotearoa. So everyone who owns a dog must meet their obligations under the Dog Control Act 1996 and the Animal Welfare Care and Procedures Regulations 2018. And they include things like registering, microchipping, having your dog under control at all times, you know, carrying a leash in the public, making sure the behaviour of a dog is barking is not a nuisance to others, and, you know, all about giving your dog proper care and exercise, and rules around dangerous or menacing dogs. I guess firstly, under control means the definition of under control in that legislation means the dog is not causing a nuisance or danger, and that the person in charge of the dog has it under continuous surveillance and is able to get the dog to obey by use of a leash, and when not on a leash, by use of vocal commands, hand signals, whistles, or other effective means. So in addition to those national rules and legislation for keeping dogs, there's various rules that apply in local areas. So here, obviously, we have to follow the Dunedin City Council's dog control policies and bylaws. And these cover such things as, like, where the places that dogs must be on a lead and places dogs are prohibited from, and other things you have to do you know, to own a dog, including advice on behavioural issues, nuisance and dangerous dogs, picking up your dog poo, and controlling your dog around wildlife, which is very important. So just to be aware that the DCC Dog Control Bylaw Policy 2016 is actually getting an update, which is going to come into effect on the 5th of May this year. But in the meantime, your dog must be registered. Most of this will probably be the same. There's just a few tweaks to it, probably. It'll be on the DCC website, though. Your dog must be registered when it reaches 3 months of age. Also, regarding registration, it's actually really important to know that if you're away when registration is due, just remember to ask the person who's looking after your dog to re-register it for you. If you have a guide or companion dog, you know, you can actually get cheaper registration, but you'll have to provide proof from the appropriate association. Dogs must also be microchipped, and this working dogs here are exempt from this. You must microchip dogs that are being registered for the first time, that have been impounded and are unregistered, have been impounded for a second time since July 2006, and there's certain breeds that have to be microchipped: Brazilian Fila, Doggo Argentino, Japanese Tosa, and Pitbull Terriers, or predominantly Pitbull types, and also dogs that are classified as dangerous or menacing by action having been taken since December 2003. So like I said, working farm dogs do not need to be microchipped, although you may need to prove that this applies to your dog. If your dog is impounded while it's unregistered, they might microchip it and you'll have to pay for it, or you'll have to get it microchipped. If your dog is not microchipped within 2 months of its registration, you may be issued a $300 infringement notice. Also, it's actually important to note this happened to one of our clients recently, that generally, you know, it's the owners who are legally responsible for the behaviour of their dogs. However, if a dog is being walked or is in the care of someone else, you know, that can be an individual or a business, it is that person's or that business's responsibility if the dog commits an offence. And also be aware that if you are looking after someone else's dog for a longish period, like maybe 2 or 3 months, then you are actually responsible for ensuring it is microchipped and registered. So a little about behavioural issues. You know, because dogs are descended from wolves, they sometimes show behavioural traits that we associate with wild animals. Dogs may bite when they're frightened, injured, threatened, or when they attempt to be dominant or territorial. And usually biting is a result of poor training or lack of socialization or the owner's lack of control over the dog. And of course, biting is not acceptable behavior and can result in serious consequences for the dog, its owner, and the victim. So under the Dog Control Act 1996, dogs that are responsible for attacks on people or other animals can be seized and or put down. The dog owner can be charged with an offence under the Act and may be liable for a fine. So, and also the owner is liable for any damages caused by the dog. And the dog may also be required to wear a muzzle and in worst case scenario may be put down. So what is a dangerous dog? Well, the council is required to classify as dangerous any dog whose owner has been convicted of an attacking offence under the Dog Control Act, where there is sworn evidence that's been received describing aggressive behaviour by the dog, or whose owner admits in writing that the dog has an aggression problem. If you own a dangerous dog, you must provide a securely fenced area of the property so that visitors can actually enter safely and have access to the house. You have to make sure your dog is muzzled when you're outside your own property boundary, and you have to de-sex your dog within 1 month of classification. Also, registration fees will be 150% of the normal fee, and you would have to apply to the council for selling or giving your dog away. But if you notice aggressive behaviour, you know, you've got to sort it out as soon as you notice it, as soon as possible. It's important to figure out what is causing the aggression in the first place. Might be caused by fear or pain, maybe a dominance, territorial issue, and the treatment will be different depending on the cause. So it's important to get expert advice. And firstly, it's probably a good idea to always get your vet to rule out any sickness or injury that might be contributing to the aggression. If you get your dog neutered, that's male or female, it may also tone down some aggression tendencies. So, yep, talk to your vet about that as well. Obedience training may not completely stop a dog's aggression, but it gives you strategies for controlling it. And it's really important to remember that any dog training to correct or minimize any problem actually takes a lot of time, effort, and expense. So don't go into owning a dog lightly. Council or a kennel club can advise you a bit more about this. Dogs are sometimes aggressive towards people. Some people, not others. There's something to be aware of. Often, you know, this relates to the person's behavior towards the dog. So if you're unafraid of the dog and you walk calmly and confidently around it, you will get a better response than if you're rushed and, you know, anxious around it. The council also has an aggressive behavior and dogs brochure on their website, which gives some good guidance on how to recognize and deal with behavior issues. So what about barking dogs? Well, dogs naturally bark when they're excited, when you're playing with them, or when they're about to go for a walk. That's all normal, shows your dog is happy. And the barking would usually stop once the exciting activity ceases. So, but if your dog is unhappy about its current situation, it may bark. And this could be because of things like where it is in the house or its kennel position and the size and comfort of it, due to boredom or anxiety, you know, being locked up or tied up for a long time. Others teasing it through the fence, or, you know, other animals through a fence line, or children. A change in family dynamics or the house or environment of the owners, if it's hungry or thirsty or uncomfortable due to some other issue. Might be barking due to lack of walking or exercise or fleas or other insects or flies that are annoying around it, or it might just be loneliness. So basically you need to work out why it's barking in the first place and trigger those things just mentioned. Nothing changes, you should definitely probably start some training. It's important not to yell, as dogs learn a lot about behaviour by copying you. So if you yell, you are telling your dog that it's okay to be loud. Praise your dog for being quiet. Give it heaps of exercise too before you leave it alone or tie it up so it gets to release some of its energy. But, you know, sometimes you might have a constantly barking dog in your neighbourhood. So how are you going to deal with that? Well, the best thing is always trying to talk to the owner first. They might not realise the dog is barking when they're not home. So if no one tells them, they might be totally unaware of it. If the dog owner is prepared to help figure out with you why it's barking, you know, you can help them. Like, you can use the same no command through the fence, you know, as the neighbour would use to it, to their dog. So there's some consistency there. If the problem persists or the owner's uncooperative, you would have to contact the council for 477-4000. They'll investigate and action, you know, justified complaints. The owner will be given a warning and allowed time to correct the problem. In particularly bad or ongoing cases, a formal notice can be served, which will require the dog owner to, you know, try and stop or reduce the nuisance. Worst case scenario, the dog could be permanently removed. You can also report barking on the council website via an online form, which is www.dunedin.govt.nz, under services and then under dogs and then dog behaviour. Or like I said, call them on 477-4000. So picking up dog poo. Interestingly, there are over 500,000 dogs in New Zealand, and apparently about 85 tonnes of poo put on parks and reserves and streets and properties a day. This is why you have to clean up your dog poo. The council takes a zero tolerance approach to dog owners who leave their dog poos behind. And it's basically just the right thing to do. It's pretty yucky when there's dog poo on, you know, walking tracks, footpaths and sports fields. And it is actually a real health risk and disgusting to have to get off your shoes. Children and people with poor hygiene are most prone to infection from parasites and bacteria if dog poo is touched on sports fields or playing on grass or from your shoes. So, and it can be quite serious. Again, there are fines for not picking up dog poo. It's an offence against the control of dogs bylaw and carries a fine of $300. So when exercising your dog or any time you leave the house, you've always got to carry plenty of dog poo bags. And make sure you tie a knot in the bag before you put it in the rubbish bin. Don't just drop the bag somewhere with the poo in it. If you see someone leaving their dog's droppings behind, you can, again, contact the council. But make sure you get information like the car registration or a description of the dog, you know, so the council can follow up. Again, you can fill in the same online form on the council website, as I just mentioned. What about if you find a dog on your property? So if a dog wanders onto your property or public place and does not appear to be well controlled by its owner, you know, like if it's causing distress to other animals or people or damaging your property, you can try contacting the dog's owner first, as they may be, again, maybe unaware that the dog's got out and hopefully will be willing to do something about it. If you cannot get in touch with the owner or the owner won't do anything about it, you can contact DCC and they'll send out the dog control officer to the scene, actually. So if a person receives 3 infringement notices about their dog within a 2-year period, or if conviction under the Dog Control Act, the council can prohibit or limit their right to keep a dog. Initially, though, a council dog control officer may give you advice about managing your dog's behaviour so it's not a nuisance to others, but they also have the power to impound your dog and issue abatement and infringement notices. You have 7 days to comply or pay once you've received an abatement or infringement notice or your dog has been impounded. And if you want to object to an abatement or infringement notice, you must lodge your objection within 7 days or there are additional penalties. So if your dog's impounded, like I said, you usually have 7 days to collect it too. But to get it released, you can contact your local council, you know, DCC, to find out where your dog is being held, as well as the fees that will apply and how and where you can pay them. And just be aware that if it gets impounded, you probably or maybe required to pay for your dog's food, the veterinary care, registration and microchipping fees before it's released. And you still might have to pay those fees even if you don't collect your dog. So, you know, there's a lot of responsibility about being a dog owner. If you own a dog or someone else's dog is a nuisance, So if your dog or someone else's dog is a nuisance to others or acts dangerously, how do you deal with that? So like sort of what we just mentioned, you're legally obliged to keep your dog under control or in fully fenced sections and to make sure that it doesn't cause distress to person, farm animals or protected wildlife or other people's pets. Just be aware that that all dogs, no matter what the breed, the size, the sex, or the age, are capable of attacking other animals. Most owners never believe their dogs are capable of attacking farm animals. But dogs responsible for livestock attacks are usually well fed. Most owners never believe their dogs are capable of attacking, and they don't believe that their dogs will do anything like that. But actually, usually well-fed pets from urban homes are the ones that attack livestock. Dog trainers also cannot guarantee that a well-trained dog, if uncontrolled, will not attack a sheep, so you must ensure your dog is under control at all times. And I gave the definition of under control at the start of this program. Here in Dunedin, the wildlife on and around our beaches, such as sea lions, penguins, other bird life, are at risk from dogs. And there's a comprehensive list of dog exercise areas on the DCC website, dunedin.govt.nz/dogs. Also a list of areas where they are not allowed to go at any time. Please adhere to these rules. Prohibited areas are, for example, McAndrew Bay and Broad Bay Beach, children's playgrounds, sports grounds, with marked fields on sports grounds, designated bathing areas on some beaches. Like, for example, St. Clair Saltwater Pool all the way to the other end of the seawall is totally banned for dogs. So is the Botanic Gardens. So another thing about wildlife here, you know, you should not disturb, touch, feed or go too close to any of Dunedin's rare wildlife. And you've got to keep dogs under control as they can harm wildlife. So keep them on a leash. Sea lions and other seals are endangered. Well, the sea lions are rare. So the small recovering breeding population based around Otago Peninsula is also a local treasure. You've got to view all seals and sea lions from a safe distance of at least 20 metres and do not disturb them. If you must pass sea lions on the beach, keep as much distance as possible and don't loiter around them. They can move quickly. So if they react to your presence, then back off calmly till you are right out of their space. And penguins here, Dunedin is home to the yellow-eyed penguin, the hoihoi, and the little the little blue penguins, the korora. Both species are shy and stressed by human presence. You have to stay at least 50 metres away from penguins. That's half a rugby field. Never approach them. Don't block penguins' entry and exit from the water, as this prevents them from returning to feeding their chicks. And don't use flash photography, and uncontrolled dogs kill penguins. If your dog behaves dangerously, you can be fined and your dog can be put down. If you're a person who witnesses an attack or a dog can, so a person who witnesses attack or a dog control officer can seize or destroy the dog in order to stop the attack. If a private individual seizes the dog, they have to hand it over to the dog control officer or the police. If your dog's dangerous behaviour leads to you being charged with a breach of the Dog Control Act, you could be fined up to $3,000 and be liable for the cost of any damage caused by your dog's attack. And the court can also order that the dog be put down. If it is a good idea to report to the City Council any dog that rushes at, frightens or attacks people, stock, other domestic animals or protected wildlife. They need good information to start legal proceedings. Get as much information as you can, like the date, time, exact location of the incident, and a full description of the dog. If the attacked animal, wildlife, or livestock needs medical or vet attention, get a report from the vet that, you know, conducted the treatment, so you have evidence, like photograph of injuries, damaged clothing, property. It's very hard to legally prosecute the dog owner unless you have you as the complainant agree to appear in court. You can object to the decision. If your dog has been seized and the council is considering prosecution, you can apply to have your dog released back to you, but you have to explain and defend the case, and you should probably get help from a lawyer. So a little about cats. Cats, unlike dogs and many other animals, are allowed to trespass other properties. In general, you cannot make the cat owner liable for damage that cat causes to your property. Cats are beloved pets for many people in New Zealand. However, they can harm local wildlife and spread diseases like toxoplasmosis and ringworm. Because cats can call native birds, some councils are considering further controls to restrict a cat's ability to roam free. To keep cats healthy and safe, it's recommended to desex, neuter, spay and microchip them. Desexing helps control the number of unwanted kittens and improves the cat's health. Microchipping helps reunite lost cats with their owners and keeps them safe during emergencies. If your cat goes missing, or try update your details on the microchip register, check and post listings on lostpet.co.nz and social media. Ask your neighbours to search sheds or garages and visit vets and the SPCA to report your missing cat. If you find a cat, check for a microchip by taking it to a vet or the SPCA. You can also try placing a paper collar on the cat with a note asking the owner to contact you. Cats that roam are at high risk of injury, disease, or causing problems for neighbours, so keeping them at home keeps them safer and healthier. If a neighbour's cat is causing problems, talk to the cat owner kindly, remove food sources and block potential shelters, cover sand pits and use fencing or netting to protect the garden areas, consider cat deterrence like ultrasonic devices, but be cautious if you have pets sensitive to noise. There's other things you can try which are not necessarily scientifically proven, but plant marigolds, rue, lavender, pennyroyal, lemon thyme in your garden, sprinkle coffee grounds around. Put out sources of vinegar. Alternatively, visit your local hardware DIY shops and check out their range of animal deterrent sprays, motion-activated sprinklers, and ultrasonic animal repellents. Other things you can try, adding cat rollers to the top of your fence or removing food or unsecured rubbish that might attract cats. The SPCA.nz website has further helpful advice. Just be aware too that there's different types of cats. There's companion cats, which are obviously your pets that rely on humans for care. There's stray cats, cats that live near people but don't have a permanent home. And then there's feral cats, which are wild cats that survive without humans. Next month we're probably going to talk about a little bit about, because we're coming to the end of this program, about chickens, roosters, and other things that, like bees, that you might want to put on your property. Just remember that we have a number of articles on our website relating to the information we've shared with you tonight, such as what should I do if I find a dog on my property? What are my responsibilities if I own a dog? What can I do if my neighbor's dog barks all the time? What can I do if my neighbour's cat becomes a nuisance on my property? And you can also contact CAB here, Citizens Advice Bureau, or Te Puhi Dunedin, to ask about any of these things we've discussed tonight, or actually about absolutely anything else you need help with, or you need to know your rights about, or you just need some guidance about how to deal with something. So you can call us directly on 03-471-6166, or you can use the nationwide free phone number 0800-367-222, but that might be answered somewhere else. But you can always say, can you please, I really want to speak to Dunedin, so it's always an option. Email CAB via our website online inquiry form, which is on our website www.cab.org.nz, and then on the yellow ribbon, find a cab, and then under there you'll go contact us. Our hours, you can call in at 155 Princess Street. It's always a good idea to ring first, just to check what's going on. Sometimes we might be short of volunteers, or we might have a whole lot of people waiting, and so it's better just to ring so you don't end up coming down and then you have to wait for ages or we can't see you. Cab hours, Monday to Thursday, we open at 10 and we close at 4 p.m. sharp. So if you're going to come in, it's always a good idea to come in at the start of a shift, either 10:15 or 1:15. And Friday we open at 10 and we close at 1 p.m. So we're only on the morning shift on Fridays. Nā mihi kia koutou for tuning in this evening, and to Otago Access Radio or FM for hosting us. Kia pai te pō. Have a good evening. We'll see you next month.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.